Mitt Romney says that people should pay on income from investments at 15%, but he says people making $200,000 or less should pay nothing. But as Howard just said, those supporting this tax structure say it encourages firms like Bain Capital to create jobs. Well, there are questions about that as well. Rick Perry, as you know, is calling Mitt Romney a vulture capitalist. But on the other hand, Staples, another company that Bain invested in, did create 90,000 jobs. Let's take a deeper look with a New Yorker reporter, John Cassidy. And John, that just sort of sets up the situation here. Bain Capital does two things. It does invest in companies like Staples, but it also takes over companies?
Yes, it's a sort of hybrid firm. On the one hand, it does what's called venture capital, i.e. providing money to new companies. That's what it did in the case of Staples, which it helped to set up in the mid-1980s. But the overwhelming majority of its deals are what are called private equity deals, leverage buyout deals, which involves buying existing companies, borrowing a lot of money to buy them, put in new management, and then try and turn them around and sell them to somebody else. That's where Romney's made the most of his money and where Bain Capital have made the most of their money.
Well, and other people who are in this kind of investment have come forward and said, in fact, someone who were former partners of Mitt Romney said, wow, he's talking about creating jobs. But the fact is, that was not our job, right? The job of these companies is to create wealth for investors.
Right. I mean, the economic rationale for the private equity industry, leverage buyout industry, whatever you want to call it, is that it makes old companies more efficient. There are lots of these old manufacturing companies around the country in industries like steel and furniture manufacturing, which were in what seemed to be a slow decline. And the argument is these bright sparks from Bain Capital and other places, KKR, other big buyout firms, come in, apply new management techniques, get rid of inefficient factories, close down inefficient factories, get rid of surplus workers, and basically make the company a lot more efficient. That makes it more valuable. They can then resell it at a bigger, you know, for a higher price. That is creating wealth. The question is, where does the wealth go? And a lot of it goes into the pockets of the partners of the firm, of course.
And John Cassidy, you write that Mitt Romney and Bain Capital viewed themselves as crusaders for economic efficiency. And you were just explaining before the break that their crusade there was to make companies more efficient, but also make more money for the shareholders.
Well, for themselves, I don't want to make it sound too high-minded. These guys were basically management consultants. They went into companies and advised the managers what to do. The managers, if they did it, often ended up making a lot of money because their firms became more efficient. Somebody at Bain, Bill Bain, the founder, said to himself, well, hang on, we can do this ourselves. We don't just have to advise the other companies what to do. We'll take over the companies, run them in the way we want, apply our management techniques, and we'll end up taking the profit. That's what they did. That's how Bain Capital was a spin-off of Bain Consulting. And so, yes, I mean, they did see themselves as sort of, you know, crusaders for efficiency, but they also saw a way of, you know, making a lot of money for themselves.
Well, but did they do what critics say, which is, for instance, in this idea that they had this dual role, consultant and, you know, owner, did they, you know, for instance, charge vulnerable companies such high consulting fees that they, in effect, drained them of the cash before they went under?
Yeah, I mean, they basically did everything they could to extract what they would call value, money, from these companies. One way they did it was by loading them up with debt, because if you issue a lot of debt, you get a tax break because you don't pay tax, you don't pay interest on tax payments. So you don't pay tax on interest payments. So a lot of these companies ended up with more debt than they could sustain, and then when they hit a recession, they went bankrupt. Another way they extract money from these companies is, as you say, by charging management fees. There was one famous company which was going bankrupt, and Bain was still charging them $1 million a year, even though the company was basically going out of business and laying off all its workers. So it's pretty clear that the interests of Bain came number one. That doesn't mean that it wasn't necessarily good for the economy as a whole. I mean, that's where the big debate is. Some economists would argue it makes the economy as a whole more efficient. But even if you accept that, and I don't necessarily accept it, the question is how the gains are distributed. And it's pretty clear that most of the gains go to Mitt Romney and his pals, and most of the losses go to the workers and other people involved with these firms before Bain took them over.
Well, but they defend that by saying that they've had many successes. The 1998 buyout of Domino's Pizza, I think Experian.
They've got lots of successes. I mean, the business wouldn't exist if it didn't succeed in some areas. I mean, Domino's is an example of a company which created a lot of jobs after they took it over. Experian is another one. There was actually a steel company they set up which did very well at the same time as the other steel company they bought did very badly. I mean, it is in their interest for the firms that they took over to do well, because if the companies do well, they can then sell them for more money. But if the company is failing or is a struggling company, then Bain is faced with a choice. What do we do with it? And in a lot of cases, what they do is, split it up and close down the most inefficient parts, move production offshore, etc. The point is that, they're taking the decisions on the basis of their own self-interest, which doesn't necessarily correlate with the self-interest of the workers of the firms they've taken over.
But a couple questions. Isn't that... I'm repeating myself, I know, but others in this field have said, but that's what our job is.
That's what Romney says. He says, look, he hasn't said it recently, but in the past he said, look, this is creative destruction. That's the phrase he uses. We're creating things by destroying things. Other firms do this. I mean, IBM or whoever will shut down an inefficient plant if they think they can make more money by relocating overseas. Why shouldn't Bain Capital do it? I think what's different in this case is that when IBM does something like that, the gains tend to go to a very large number of people, i.e. the shareholders of IBM. Some of the managers do well as well. But the private equity industry is specifically constructed so that the gains go to a very small number of people, i.e. the people who are running the private equity firms. And that's what... that's what the sort of question comes down to.
And let's just reinforce that, because you or I or anyone might have, let's say, some of their pension invested in a company like IBM through your investment firm. But this is a closed circle at Bain.
Well, you can. That's not necessarily true. Ah. You can actually invest in Bain Capital. I mean, pension funds, for example, do put some of their money into private equity firms like Bain Capital and Blackstone Group and KKR. That's another defense of people like Romney. For people like Romney, that it's not just them who are making the big gains. Their investors make the big gains too.
Why is it different?
This is the way American capitalism, has developed.
Are you just saying that it's a much larger pool in other companies?
It's not that it's much larger. It's just that the gains are a bit more evenly distributed. In a private equity firm, the people who are running the private equity company take 20% of all the profits from all the other investors. And then they can classify that income, as investment income, and only pay 15% tax on it, as your previous guest was saying. So the whole industry is structured to benefit, a small number of people. That's why it's so politically explosive.
And what about the Mitt Romney claim that he created 100,000 jobs? He's tempered that. There's an ad out now in South Carolina, and it just says thousands. So.
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to this division between private equity and venture capital. What Romney's doing is trying to put the two together and say, look, we made 100,000 jobs, but that includes Staples, which, as you said in your introduction, created 90,000 jobs by itself. That was a big success. Romney deserves credit for that. He backed Staples back in the 80s when nobody else thought it was a good idea to have an office superstore. Turned into a very good idea, and Bain made quite a lot of money out of it. And, the company has subsequently created a lot of jobs. But the sort of political debate which Gingrich and other people are raising is, what about the core of Bain's business, which wasn't creating new firms like Staples? It was taking over older firms. What did they do when they went in there?
Yeah. John Cassidy of The New Yorker will hook you up with all of his excellent writing on this. John Cassidy, thanks so much as always.
Thank you very much.